I wonder how much you feel like praising God this morning. For a year now, I have been preaching with this bookcase behind me. And for the last year, this is what you've been looking at on a Sunday morning. But I thought you might like to know what my view has been, and this is what it looks like. Instead of looking at a congregation, I've been looking at a camera. And I gotta be honest, it doesn't inspire me in the same way. I find it a little bit more challenging to get into a place of worship on a Sunday morning. Maybe you feel the same. Here we are still in lockdown. There's not a lot of good news around. It's another holiday where maybe we don't get to see our family. But what I remind myself of is that the source of my praise does not come from looking at my surroundings, but the source of my praise comes from looking to my Savior. Today is Palm Sunday, and we're looking at this story of Jesus entering in to Jerusalem, where he will suffer and die. But as he is coming in, the crowds of his disciples praise God, and they sing out, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." But there are some other travelers on the road, some Pharisees, and they know Jesus and they've been against his ministry from the very beginning. And they say to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Tell them to stop." But Jesus responds in chapter 19, verse 40, and he says, "I tell you," he replied, "if they kept quiet, the stones would cry out." And this verse has challenged me this week because I know life is not perfect at the moment, but I know I'm better off than a stone. So why does a rock on the ground have a greater desire to worship God than I do sometimes? What do the stones know that I don't? Now, of course, Jesus is exaggerating here, but the point is that Jesus deserves to be worshipped. When we understand who he is, and when we have experienced the peace that he brings, our heart will rejoice and our voice will praise God. So this morning we're going to look at this story in a bit more detail. We're going to see some of the things that it shows us about who Jesus is, with the aim that it will increase our desire to praise God. So if you have a Bible with you, it would be great to get it as we look at chapter 19, verses 28 to 40 together. These verses are all focused on the kingship of Jesus. And I want us to think about three things that we learn about the king in these verses. The first is that the king is in control. Look at me with verses 29 to 32. Jesus sent out two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it, just as he had told them." Just as he had told them. Now, whether you think this is prophecy or this is a prearranged plan, it's another example about how Jesus is in total control. As you read through the events of Holy Week, never once is Jesus surprised by what happens. It's as if he's always one step ahead. The plot of the religious leaders to kill him, the betrayal of Judas, the denial by Peter. Jesus predicted all of those things before they happened. This was the worst week in Jesus's life. This was the darkest moment in the history of the world. Yet when you read through what happens, there is a calmness about Jesus. There is a confidence because he knows he is walking in the plans of God. Even though people do terrible things to him, he allows it to happen because through it, he will bring salvation to the world. He's in total control, and he still is. Jesus is not surprised by this pandemic. He knows exactly what is going to happen next. And we need to remember that no matter what it is that we are going through at this moment, Jesus is in control. So we can find a calmness in the midst of the storm. And we can have a confidence too, knowing that the plans of God will result in what is good for us. The King is in control, and the King is the Christ. All through the Old Testament of the Bible, there are prophecies about a special King who will come and undo the damage of sin in this world. In Hebrew, he is called Messiah, which translates into Greek as Christ. Jesus riding the donkey, the location of the Mount of Olives, the psalm that the people sing, all of these things fulfill the prophecies about the Messiah and show that Jesus is not just a king, Jesus is the King. He is God's chosen, anointed, eternal, divine King of all kings who came to this world to save us. When Jesus was born, angels from heaven sang the song, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace." And now listen to what the crowd of disciples sing about Jesus in verse 38. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Jesus is the King who reunites heaven and earth in peace. He is restoring all things to how they should be. As a sign of who he was, he opened the eyes of the blind. He made the crippled walk. He raised the dead back to life, and he proclaimed good news to the poor. And that same Christ is still at work doing wonderful things in people's lives, bringing healing, restoring relationships, giving freedom from addictions, giving people hope, taking away fear, helping people to find a new purpose in life. The King is in control, and the King is the Christ. And thirdly, the King is journeying towards the cross. Luke's gospel is all structured around journeys. And for the last 10 chapters, Jesus has been traveling towards Jerusalem. And every event that happens takes him closer to that destination. And so this episode links the journey to Jerusalem to how he will suffer in Jerusalem. As joyous as this moment is, it cannot be separated from the tragedy that is about to happen. As Jesus enters into Jerusalem, this is the beginning of his procession to the cross. Listen to how he describes what's going to happen to him in the chapter before, in chapter 18, verses 31. "Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, 'We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him. They will flog him and kill him.'" That is what Jesus is journeying towards. But then you might ask, why? If he knows that's what's going to happen to him in Jerusalem, then why go there? Because he loves you. Because it was only through that could you be forgiven and have that peace with God. But God's love is so great. God's love is so strong. God's love is so powerful that nothing can stop it, not even death. Because in Jesus' prediction of his suffering, he also says again in 18 verse 33, "On the third day, he will rise again." The cross was not the final destination. Even though they put him in a tomb and rolled away the stone, he walked out of his grave and ascended up into heaven. And if our faith is in Jesus as the Christ, then we are on that same journey too. There may be tears. There may be pain. There may be betrayal and abandonment and loneliness and suffering and death. But that is not our final destination. Because just as Jesus returned and was resurrected from death, he will raise us to eternal life too, to be with him forever in his kingdom. The King is in control. The King is the Christ. And the King is journeying to his death and his resurrection. And Jesus says that if this rock had a mouth, then it would open it and cry out in praise to God because of who Jesus is and what he has done. Now, of course, I know you say, but that's stupid because rocks don't have mouths. No, stones don't have mouths, but you do. So open it and praise God today. And I know it's hard when we can't be together to sing in church, but there is something special about opening your mouth to praise God. So sing along to the hymns that are in our service. Put on your favorite piece of worship music and actually sing out loud during the week. Or read a psalm out loud. Whatever it is, use your mouth to praise God. I want us to do something really simple this morning. And I can't see what you're doing, but I'm going to trust that you're going to participate in this. On that day, as Jesus was walking into Jerusalem, the crowds quoted from Psalm 118. And Psalm 118 begins this way. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. That psalm would have been used in worship, and the leader would have said the first bit, and then those that were present would have replied with, his love endures forever. And so I want us to do that this morning. No matter where you are, if you're sitting on your couch watching this on TV, if you're at your kitchen table watching it on your iPad, if you're with people, if you're by yourself, whatever it is, I encourage you to say these words as loud as you can as a way to praise Jesus, our King, this morning. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the church say, his love endures forever. Let those who are saved by the King say, his love endures forever. Let those who love the Lord say, his love endures forever.